السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله نبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، أسعد الله أوقاتكم ونور قلوبكم عن الإيمان والإسلام والإحسان، وزادكم تقى وزادكم معرفة بالله في هذا الشهر المبارك، هذا الشهر الكريم، شهر رمضان، شهر القرآن وشهر أهل الله وخاصته، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. So alhamdulillah, we are looking at the 26th juz of the Quran, which encompasses an increasing number of surahs as the surahs are getting shorter, generally speaking, as we approach the back of the Mus'haf. And this encompasses Surah Al-Ahqaf, Surah Muhammad or Surah Al-Qital, and Surah Al-Fath, and Surah Al-Hujurat, and Surah Qaf, and the beginning of Surah Al-Dhariyat. So we're going to be looking at specifically Surah Al-Fath. And Surah Al-Fath is a Medinian surah. It was actually revealed when the Prophet ﷺ was in Al-Hudaybiyah, which even though is technically closer to Mecca than in Medina, but it was after the Hijrah. So we define a surah being as Medinian if it happens after the Hijrah, even though if the Prophet ﷺ was closer to Mecca or in Mecca itself. And the munasabah of this surah, Surah Al-Fath, which means the opening or the conquest, is that in the fifth year of the Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ made an intention to go to make Umrah in Mecca with the Sahaba while he was in Medina. So this was a large group, maybe around 500,000, 400 of the Sahaba were on their way, and they got in their ihram, and they're on their way to make the Umrah. They did not have an intention to have any sort of confrontation with Quraysh in Mecca, but as they get there and approach there, and their presence becomes known to the Meccans, the Quraysh, they made camp right outside of Mecca in a place called the Hudaybiyah, which is about 20 kilometers or so outside of Mecca. And it's there that they sent one of their emissaries, a man by the name of Suhail ibn Amr, to meet the Prophet ﷺ to negotiate how they would enter into Mecca. And without going into the whole long story, the result of it was that they agreed, even though the Sahaba, some of them were reluctant, that they would not make Umrah that year and they would come back the next year, which was known as Umrah al-Qadha, the Umrah of Qadha, the Umrah that they're making up for the one not entering. And it was during this time that the Prophet ﷺ also sent Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan as an emissary into Mecca to negotiate before Suhail ibn Amr comes to them. And he got delayed. And the Prophet ﷺ did not know why he got delayed. He got delayed because he was invited by some of his relatives who still remained in Mecca. But then a rumor circulated, whether purposefully by the Quraysh or otherwise, whatever the case may be, that the Sayyidina Uthman was killed by the Quraysh. And so when this news reached the Prophet ﷺ, then this is when the Bay'at al-Hudaybiyah happened, or Bay'at al-Ridwan, which we'll talk about when we get to those verses. But the Bay'ah basically is the Sahaba pledging an oath of fealty to the Prophet ﷺ, and here this particular oath of fealty was also عَلَى الْقِتَالِ وَإِلَى الْمَوْتِ, that they would fight until death to avenge Sayyidina Uthman and with the Meccans, with the Quraysh. So he comes back sometime later before all of that gets started, and so they knew that that didn't happen, and then the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was conducted, Sulh Hudaybiyah, and this was a treaty that ostensibly set for 10 years of sulh, 10 years of hudna, or of reconciliation between the Prophet ﷺ and Quraysh in Mecca. Though it only lasted 2.5 years, the Quran still describes it as a fath, as an opening, and we'll see why in the surah. And it begins with A'udhu Billahi Shaitanir Rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُّبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِن ذَنبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما. ليدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ويكفر عنهم سيئاتهم وكان ذلك عند الله فوزا عظيما. ويعذب المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات الظانين بالله ظن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء وغضب الله عليهم ولعنهم وعد لهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا. ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا. We have opened for you a great opening. And the Mufassirun differ about what this fatḥ entails. What was this opening? The strongest opinion that it was the fatḥ of Hudaybiyah, which was not a military conquest at all, but rather was a treaty. And some of the narrations indicate that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Awa fatḥun hu?" Yani, is it really an opening? Because to them, they go to make, planning to make Umrah, they're unarmed, they didn't have an intention for any fighting, and they're rebuffed, and they go back to Mecca without making the Umrah, go back to Al-Madinah without making the Umrah. So they said, how is that a fatḥ? And the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلْ هُوَ أَعْظُمُ الْفُتُوحِ. It is the greatest of openings, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been pleased with us that now the mushrikeen have be more exposure to Islam, and we have this aman, right? We have this safety. So it indicates that the da'wah to Islam, the da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's allowed to operate freely, without this worry about harassment from the Quraysh, and even worse than that, of even threats of physical violence and aggression, that's a great opening. And indeed it was a great opening, because in the 2.5 ensuing years, more people came into Islam in those 2.5 years than all of the people before that. When the Prophet ﷺ makes hijrah to Mecca, to Medina from Mecca, the inhabitants of Mecca were roughly 4,000 to 5,000 people, the estimates. How many people made the hijrah? Less than 100. So not a significant number, obviously, if we're looking at the percentages of how many made hijrah, less than 10%, obviously. So many also people remained back who were believers but did not have the ability to go and make hijrah. And so they still had to kind of very surreptitiously and quietly practice their Islam, even while they remained in Mecca and they could not join the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. And there are some verses of Surah Al-Fath that talk about those particular people that we'll see. So the other opinions also ranged Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, which happened in the 8th year of the Hijrah, so at least 2 years, 3 years after this. Or it could have been Fath Khaybar, with the opening of Khaybar, which was the Husun, the fortresses that were occupied the Jewish tribes, Al-Ladina Ghadaru bin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ones who betrayed him in Ghazwat al-Ahzab. But nonetheless, the majority opinions remain that this fatḥ was the fatḥ of Al-Hudaybiyah, or the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Right here, lam generally would say lam التعليل, right? The reason that we've given you this fatḥ is so that you may be forgiven. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ, that which came before in terms of your sins and that which came after. وَهَذَا الْخِطَابِ, this is addressing the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in the same vein, we should mention verse 19 from Surah Muhammad, because that kind of completes the story for us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No, he's saying to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no God except Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness for your ذَنْب. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and also on behalf of the believers, the believing men and the believing women. والله يعلم متقلبكم وثواكم. And Allah knows your mutaqallab, right? Where you are not station, where you're not stationary, where you're moving, ومثواكم, and where you are your iqama, right? And مثواكم here could mean an iqama في القبور, the final abode in the afterlife. So then question arises, well, did the Prophet ﷺ actually commit sins? And the answer to that is emphatically and unequivocally no. All of the Prophets were infallible, all of the Prophets were sinless. This is the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah, both قبل النبوة وبعد النبوة. So before they were Prophets and even after they were Prophets. And here we define sin as that which is considered by their Sharia to be sinful. Not what may be in considered in terms of the relationship of the Prophet ﷺ or any other Prophet with Allah, من باب ترك الأولى, as they say. In other words, that there's also a taraqqi, there's also an ascendancy in degrees with the Prophets towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their knowledge. So just like every one of us is hopefully on a knowledge journey towards Allah, so were the Prophets. But their starting point is higher than anyone else's ending point. So we will never reach even the starting point of the Prophets. But nonetheless, they're on that taraqqi. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that we cannot think of or we cannot speak. يعني هذه علاقة خاصة. And they also say that حسنات الأبرار سيئات المقربين. حسنات الأبرار سيئات المقربين, which means the good deeds of good people may be considered faulty or a shortcoming for the مقربين, those who are further along on their knowledge journey, their spiritual journey path, or are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are things between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we may never know. That's between Allah and His Prophet. But we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sinless, did not commit sins. And here, if we think of them, we think of them in the sense of maybe something that would have been more preeminent or precedent for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do than what he actually chose. Like when Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah At-Tawbah, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So when the people of Medina came to give their excuse and their shaky excuse, their flimsy excuse, that they won't go on the expedition to Tabuk, towards the Byzantine, the border of the Byzantine Empire, which actually no fight actually happened, but it was a long, arduous, difficult campaign to march north in the late summer, all the way towards the Byzantine Empire in the north. So many of them gave these flimsy excuses, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted their excuses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ عَفَ اللَّهُ يعني حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ يعني, until you can tell the ones who are being truthful from the ones who were lying. So that's like, maybe you can think of it as a rebuke, but look at the way that Allah addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ, you know, may Allah have afu upon you, Allah pardons you, but why did you? Because that was the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was pardoning to people, and maybe in a mawqif, in a situation that he should have been more stern with them. So if that's a sin, like, then, you know, then you can think of that, well, that's what a prophetic sin would look like, not the sins that we do that are clear transgressions against the Sharia. So anyway, the rest of the verse, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ, right? And this تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَتَأَخَّرَ was also uttered by Sittina Aisha when she found the Prophet ﷺ. This is also happened in Medina, and he was praying long nights till his ankles or his calves swelled. And she asked him, you know, لِمَ تَكَلَّفْ نَفْسَكَ, why do you do all of this? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, and Allah has forgiven you, probably she's quoting Surah Al-Fath, all of your sins, whether they came before or they came after. And then the Prophet ﷺ replies back to her, أَفَلَا أَكُنْ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, should I not be a grateful servant? So worship because of gratitude, not worship because you're trying to get something in terms of recompense or reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, right? And he will complete his ni'mah, his blessing upon you, here with, inshaAllah, eventually will be فتح مكة, the conquest of Mecca. And he goes back to Mecca. وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, and to lead you on the straight path. وَيَنْصُرُكَ اللَّهُ نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا, right? We saw this word Aziz before. Allah Azizun Hakim, one of the names of Allah is Aziz. يعني العزيز الذي غالب على أمره, the one that no one can repel their execution of something when they want to do it. So this نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا, a total or complete victory. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. He is the one who put the سكينة, the tranquility, the serenity in the hearts of the believers. ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. So that they may increase iman with the iman that they already have. So there's a type of iman that's characterized by tuma'nina, by sakina, by ease, by al-rida bil-qada, being contented with the degree of Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is iman ala iman, or some of them say nurun ala nur, nurun ala nur, light upon light. Walillahi junudu as-samawati wal-ard, right? And Allah has the junud, those forces that are at His disposal of both the heavens and the earth. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Right, in another verse. And no one knows the true junud, the true forces of Allah, except Him. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Right, maybe that's an ishara. عَلِيمًا, only Allah knows His junud. And حَكِيم, and He will dispense them, and He will distribute them by His wisdom, by His hikmah. لِيُدْخِلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And also that the believing men and the believing women will enter into paradise under which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا forever. وَيُكَفِّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. And to expiate all of their sins or their minor sins. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. So even if you don't realize الفوز, the victory that you had anticipated in the terrestrial realm, you will always have the victory in the celestial realm. And so before the Sahaba embarked on any campaign, they always had in their heart إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ, one of the two good things. Either we will win the victory on the battlefield, or maybe we may be martyred, and then we'll have the victory in the next life. Either way, they're victorious. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ. And also to punish the munafiqeen and the munafiqat, those who pretend to be Muslim, from men and women. وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الظَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. The ones who had this suspicion with Allah, ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. يعني they thought, you know, they said, لَنْ يَنْقَلَبَ الرَّسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنَ إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ أَبَدًا. They thought after this campaign to Hudaybiyah or after the campaign to Tabuk that they're not coming back. That's what the munafiqeen were saying in Al-Madinah. Muhammad and his people, they weren't really far away. They may never come back. Khalas, what can we do? يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوءِ إِمَّا دُعَاءَ أَوْ خَبَرٌ. They said, dua means Allah's, this is like a dua against them, a supplication against them. عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوءِ أَوْ هَذَا خَبَرٌ. Allah is informing us, عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوءِ. The circle of evil comes back to them. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and Allah's wrath is upon them. وَلَعَنَهُمْ, and His curse. وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمَ, and He has prepared for them hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, which is the worst place to be. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And again, the forces of the samawati and ard are for Allah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. The previous verse says, كَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Right? Maybe an indication that the forces of that bring sakina, the angels that bring tuma'nina and sakina and ease to the believers, Allah knows who they are. Here, في إثر هذه الآية, that talks about the مشركين والمشركات والمنافقين والمنافقات, and their plotting and their machinations and their rumor mongering and their innuendos about the believers. ولله جنود السماوات والأرض. No matter what they do, they will not defeat the forces of Allah, of the heavens and the earth. وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Right? عزيزا يعني غالب على أمره. They will not be able to overcome. When Allah wants something to be, it will be. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهَ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا. We have sent you as a shahid, as a witness. وَمُبَشِّرًا, and the one who brings good tidings and good news to the believers. وَنَذِيرًا, and the warner to the one who did not accept. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, so that you may believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ, وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلة. So تعزروه من المؤازرة, which is to give him aid. يعني Allah says to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Quran, حسبك الله من اتبعك من المؤمنين. It's enough for you that you have Allah and enough for the believers. Or you can read it, it's enough for you that you have Allah and Allah gives you the believers also. So this مؤازرة, يعني to give aid, to give victory, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to be from amongst his junud, amongst his forces, it's a command. وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ التوقير, right? توقير means to have respect, to have reverence, to assign the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم his proper maqam. وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ أَمَّا التَّسْبِيحُ فَهَذَا خَاصٌ لِلَّهِ, right? Tasbih is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا تُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, so that you make tasbih بُكْرَةً early in the day and late in the day, which can refer to the actual tasbih or the actual prayers. The morning prayer, right? وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا, right? Also the Quran of the Fajr or the Subah prayer, because there's a special significance to it. كَانَتْ مَشْهُودًا مِنْ قِبْلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, this is when the angels, according to Hadith Bukhari, they come in and then another group of angels come in from Fajr to Al-Asr, and the same thing happens at Al-Asr, and then they say تَرَكْنَاهُمْ هُمْ يُصَلُّونَ وَجَدْنَاهُمْ هُمْ يُصَلُّونَ, we left them and they were praying and we came back and they're still praying. Then the next verse is the verse of the bay'ah that we were talking about earlier in the Hudaybiyah. So what is the characteristic of this particular bay'ah, this oath of fealty of the Sahaba to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ, the ones who are giving bay'ah, who are making this oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking to him, إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهَ, they are actually, in actuality, giving the bay'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hand of God is above their hands. Not a literal hand. Allah doesn't have a limb. We don't have to go through all of that. But it's a mathal, right? It's tamthil. So it means that really consider yourself when you're giving bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ, that you're actually giving bay'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَن نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ, and whoever breaks that bay'ah, breaks that covenant, it goes back to themselves. وَمَنْ أَوْفَ بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهَ, and in warsh alayhi, فَسَنُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, right? But whoever fulfills their covenant, fulfills that oath, fulfills the bay'ah, فَسَنُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, we will give them a great reward. We'll give them a great reward. So the next verses talk about some of the excuses that especially the desert Bedouins, the Arab, who were from around al-Medina, but nonetheless were part of the covenant of al-Medina, where they say, Allah says about them, سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. The مُخَلَّفُون, those who defied the command of the Prophet ﷺ to go out to al-Hudaybiyah, مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ, from the desert nomadic Bedouins around al-Medina, what do they say? شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا, يعني we've been busy with our wealth and our families, فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا, so seek forgiveness on our behalf. يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, they say with their tongues that which is not in their heart, because they're not sincere, they just don't want to go, not because they're busy with their families or busy with tending their flocks or whatever they might be. قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلُكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ ضَرًّا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ نَفْعًا بَلْ كَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, say to them, فَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, who amongst you has the power of anything to stop anything or bring about anything, إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ ضَرًّا, if Allah seeks that he brings harm to you, أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ نَفْعًا, or seeks to bring benefit, even those things you think you're busy with, who do you think they came from? They came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? وَمَنْ يُطَعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, and whoever follows the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has followed Allah. So how is it that you're not following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here? In essence, you're not following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ كَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, right? Allah is well acquainted with what you have in your heart. بَلْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَن لَّن يَنْقَلِبَ الرَّسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ أَبَدًا وَزُيِّنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَظَنَنْتُمْ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُورًا. بَلْ ظَنَنْتُمْ, here is talking about from the munafiqeen and from those who didn't go, بَلْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَلَّنْ يَنْقَلِبَ الرَّسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيهِمْ أَبَدًا. You didn't think they were coming back. You thought it was over. And that's what you're telling people and spreading this rumor. وَزُيِّنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Right? And this was adorned in your heart. الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَكُمْ ذَلِكَ وَزَيْنَ لَكُمْ ذَلِكَ. Satan, he made this adorned and you actually believed your own lie. وَظَنَنْتُمْ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ. And you had this dhan, this suspicion, and dhan yuqabil al-ilm. It's not knowledge, but something that they wanted to happen, or they suspected would happen. وَقُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُورًا. Right? مِنَ الْبَوَارِ. يعني هَلَك. You will be a people that will destroy it if you continue on this path. So I'm going to skip to verse 18, which also mentions the bay'ah here about the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَقَدْ يَرَى اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is pleased with the believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. So in Hudaybiyah there was a large tree that the Mubay'ah, all 1,500 men or people that was with the Prophet ﷺ, gave the Bay'ah to this blessed tree. Is that tree still there? No, even during the time of Umar, when he passed by, he said the tree was no longer there. There is a well in that area, if you ever visit Al-Hudaybiyah, which is just outside of Mecca, which kind of signifies the general area where the Sulh Al-Hudaybiyah happened. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Right? Allah, of course, knows what's in their hearts when they give that bay'ah. And then, in other words, you're willing to sacrifice everything. فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Right? And then the sakina came upon them. Then they were in a good state because they were ready. And in fact, when they had to turn back and go back to Medina after they were not allowed to do the Umrah, but the treaty of Hudaybiyah was concluded, the Prophet ﷺ had one of his wives with him, Umm Salama, our mother, Umm Salama. And he went inside his tent and she said, you know, she saw that he was somewhat distraught because the Sahaba were not really accepting. Even Umar said to the Prophet ﷺ, أَلَسْنَا نَحَقُّهُمْ عَلَى بَاطِلِ. Are we not upon truth and they are upon falsehood? How is the كيف الحسبة? How is that working? She said, if you go outside and if you take your sheep and you slaughter it and you shave your head like you just did the Umrah, then everyone will follow. So he did that, he took her advice and everyone did that. And then the next year they came back and did the Umrah bil Qada. And then a year after that, that was Fatha Mecca. A year and a half after that, the opening conquest of Mecca. And in a peaceful, now with 10,000 soldiers with him, the Prophet ﷺ enters into Mecca, not as a conqueror, but as a liberator, as someone who brought the true meanings of the deen for people who are already there and ready to accept it. And no one was, there was no major bloodshed, there was no battles, there was no fighting of swords. And in fact, when he enters into Mecca, and one of the Ansar, one of the people of Medina, who's holding the raya or the standard, and when he's walking and they're getting into close to Medina, he said, Al-Yawm Yawmu Malhama. Today is a day of Malhama, epic battle. Right, like we're going to take revenge upon these people. And the Prophet ﷺ takes the raya away from him. He said, Bal al-yawm yawm marhama. That's not the day that we're having today. This is a day of mercy. And he enters Mecca with his head down and in humility, entering into Mecca this way. And this was the sunnah that was followed by all of the Muslim generals after that. Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, when he enters into Bayt al-Maqdis and he was given the keys to the city, he also entered with his head down. And Muhammad the Conqueror, also when he entered into Istanbul, or what was Constantinople, also with his head down. So we don't go in, we don't destroy, we don't pillage, we don't colonize, we don't exile people from their homes, we don't bomb indiscriminately and then call it collateral damage. That's never been the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ, or the sunnah of Islam, or the sunnah of any sane, rational, caring, principled person. So now I want to skip to the last part of the surah, which is one of my favorite parts of the Quran. All the Quran is good, but yani this one in particular. قوله تعالى, ayah number 27. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. So the Prophet ﷺ before Hudaybiyah, before the Umrah, he had seen in his dream, he's entering to Mecca, and he sees in his dream that people are making tawaf around the Kaaba and some have their head shaved, which is the stronger sunnah after making Umrah to shave the head, or some of them also had their hair just cut, which is also a sunnah. So he sees that in the dream and people got wind of that, and so they had the expectation that that was going to happen when they go to make the Umrah, but then they come back. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. Right? This is yet to come, but it will come. That Allah has proven true, will prove true, the ru'ya, the night dream, of the Prophet ﷺ, بِالْحَقِّ. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. You will enter the Masjid al-Haram. إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. Right? آمِنِينَ, in complete safety. No one will bother you. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ. With some of your head shaved, ومقصرين, and some with their hair cut. لا تخافون, there will be no fear upon you. فعلم ما لم تعلموا. Right, you thought it was going to be this year, but Allah knows what you do not know. فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. But after that, a close fatḥ. Here they said this fatḥ was a fatḥ of Khaybar, of those tribes that betrayed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're able to penetrate their fortresses. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وكفى بالله شهيدا محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزرع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. هو الذي أرسل رسوله. He is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent his messenger بالهُدَى, with guidance, ودين الحق, and the deen of حق, the deen of the true and of the real, ليظهره على الدين كله, to supersede all that which came before. وكفى بالله شهيدا, and it's enough that Allah is the witness of who? محمد رسول الله. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And the people with him from the Sahaba, and we can infer the meaning even after the Sahaba, with him in heart, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ يعني عَلَى الْكُفُرِ. They don't tolerate disbelief in the sense that they don't accept it for themselves. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. But amongst themselves they are merciful. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You find them in ruku'ah, in sujood. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They are seeking the blessing and the virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرِضْوَانًا, and His contentment. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You see their signs in their faces, مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Some of the mufassirin said, literally, أَثَر, يعني what we call the zabiba, مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, or both, it could mean, هَذَا النُّور, مِنَ السُّجُودِ. Yeah, the one who maintains the night vigil, that tahajjud qiyam al-layl, if they do it in the night, then they have nur bin nahar, as the hadith mentioned. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَةِ. Right? This is also the example of those who followed in their time the Torah, the Torah. وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. And also those in the gospel, who were the true followers of Jesus and the true followers of Moses, alayhim salam. They also had these characteristics. What was the method? How? كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ. Right? Like a zara, like something, a crop or a plant, like corn, and then the seed comes out. فآزرهُ, then it's planted, فآزرهُ, then it becomes a stalk, it becomes stronger. فاستغلظ, then it becomes thicker. فاستوى على سوقه, right? And then the suq, which is the kind of the main part of the plant, now it's strong and it has multiplied. So the seed of Nubuwa, one person it began with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and now we have over 7 billion Muslims. And in the time of Musa, in the time of Isa, in the time of all of the prophets, very similar. فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. And then the example of the zurra, the one who planted, who made the crop, they see this kathra, this mubaha, and this increase in iman, ليغيظ بهم الكفار. Right? This will not be a happy day for the disbelievers. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah has promised those from amongst them who believe and do the good works, مغفرة, a great forgiveness, وأجرا عظيما, and a great reward. والله رسوله أعلى وأعلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وبارك الله فيكم, جزاكم الله خير, بارك الله فيكم في هذه الليالي المباركة القليلة المتبقية من شهر رمضان الكريم. نسأل الله سبحانه لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد, وأن يرفع عنا الشقاء والبلاء والفتن ما ظهر منه وما بطن, وأن ينصرنا على أعدائنا وأعداء الدين وأعداء الله وأعداء الإسلام, إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.